Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. Spring is just around the corner. You don't have to look very far to understand why we love living in Colorado. From hiking to mountain biking, rock climbing to gardening, opportunities abound when it comes to diving into the outdoors throughout the Pikes Peak region. So joining us this morning to talk more about what's happening this spring here on The Extra, when it comes to the great outdoors, we're so pleased to have with us Susan Davies, Executive Director of Trails and Open Space Coalition. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Shannon. It's so good to be with you on this lovely spring day.
Well, and definitely welcome to the show. Also on the KRDO Newsline, joining us a little later, we're going to be talking to Astrid Monar, Membership and Events Manager for the Palmer Land Conservancy, and Ambrose Fies Armstrong, Community Education Manager for Food to Power. That's coming up a little later on, but first let's get started with Susan. Susan, why don't you share some information with our listeners about Trails and Open Space Coalition?
Thanks so much. You know, we got started close to 40 years ago, and this was at a time where there were plenty of trail master plans, but not a lot of trails were being built. So a group of folk came together, started at that time we were called the Pikes Peak Trail Association, and we started to focus on where could trails be built and where could we start, you know, connecting people to, you know, neighborhoods and outdoor activities. And it was really the Pikes Peak Greenway, which was one of our first big projects. And that eventually led into the need for the TOPS tax, which was passed in 1997, so that there was actually funding to get these great projects going. And now look around. I mean, when you think of the miles of urban trails, the acres of open space we've saved, and the amazing parks that we have in the region, I mean, we've come a long way, but there's still ways to go, but pretty exciting.
Yeah, there's something to be said for driving pretty much anywhere in this region, and you don't have to go very far before you're greeted by vistas of open space. It does something to the soul, I truly believe. So how can someone get involved with your coalition and perhaps volunteer for a project?
Oh, we'd love that. You know, what we always say to people, Shannon, is where do you like to play? What's your favorite open space? What's your favorite trail? And then when someone tells us, you know, I absolutely love Ute Valley Park. I love, you know, taking my mountain bike out there, having my dog on a leash, hiking around the perimeter. And we say, well, that's fantastic because there is a friends group there that is so great and effective. And you could come out probably once a month during the summertime and help them with all kinds of projects, whether it's, you know, picking some of the invasive weeds, removing those, or helping with a trail closure, improving a trail, improving a fence. There's always projects. So there are 25 friends groups in our region, and they would love to have you engage and help them out for a part of a day and give back to those open spaces and parks where you love to play.
Yeah, it's so needed, this help. But on the flip side, there's also fun to be had giving that help. Are there any new or out-of-the-way public spaces that folks should check out?
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of the projects we're proud of, we've been working on some of the trail connectivity issues. For example, the Ring the Peak Trail is one of them that we work with other partners on. And an improvement to the Ring the Peak Trail that goes to the top of Pancake Rock. So that would be going to Woodland Park beyond, taking 67 South on your way to Cripple Creek. There's a place to turn off there, a trailhead that will take you up to the top of Pancake Rocks. Now, the trail used to be in pretty bad shape, but thanks to the work of Rocky Mountain Field Institute, what my organization did to secure money from the LART tax, it is beautiful. And this summer, once the snow melts a little, you should really plan to take a trip to the top. And it's gorgeous. The trail's gorgeous. The views are gorgeous from the top. So that would be one place. Another would be Austin Bluffs. If you are not familiar with the Austin Bluffs Pulpit Rock area, which is just off Nevada, go back and check it out. There are new trails there. There's a new, safer, more sustainable way to get up to the top of Pulpit Rock, and you should absolutely check that out too. And so those would be two. And then finally, Legacy Loop. You know, we've talked for years about how are we going to get the Legacy Loop connected, which is the 10-mile loop around our city. And the top northern part of that Legacy Loop, that work is underway as we speak. So in the next weeks to come, check it out and see how you can now go from Pikes Peak Greenway across the Rock Island Trail, continue on the TGAP Trail if you care to, or connect to the Shooks Run Trail, and that whole portion of the Legacy Loop is going to soon be completed and beautiful and connect to some of those roads. So there are some neat places to check out.
Well, and a little later on, we're going to be sharing your website where you can find out about all of those various trails and loops. And so grab your pencil if you're listening to this and are intrigued and want to put some new challenges on your list for the summer. What new projects are Trails and Open Space Coalition undertaking that listeners might be interested in?
Oh, Shannon, thanks for asking. There's one we're really excited about that we're about to launch, and it's called the One Bag Challenge. We know that a lot of folks in our area that are active love to come out for a day or two during the year and clean up and give back. You know, they might do that during Creek Week. They might do it with their company or a scout troop. You know, our city is looking a little shabby in places, and we think the solution might be for all of us to take a little more responsibility. So we're encouraging people, when you go out for a walk, when you go out for a bike ride, grab a bag and just fill it. And it can be a small bag. But if everybody would just take the one bag challenge and start removing some of the litter we're seeing in some of our trails and open spaces, we think there would be a remarkable difference. So we are going to have bags available. We're going to have areas available where we're going to encourage people to go out and pick up. And we think we could make a dramatic impact on how our city is looking and just make it even more beautiful.
I love this idea because if you are someone who loves the outdoors, you don't like to see the litter. And sometimes it's not even people on the trails that the litter is coming from. It blows here, I swear, from all over. And sometimes these open spaces are just collectors, don't you think?
Totally. And, you know, and part of it is our terrain, you know, so that if you've got a little hillside or our creeks, you know, it accumulates there. But, you know, we have so much pride in our city. We use these trails and open spaces. And if we can just encourage a culture of picking up. My parents used to do this, and I'll tell you, as a kid, it drove me crazy. I mean, they would be picking up trash. It's like, Mom and Dad, will you just stop doing that? But that started to become part of our thing, you know, as a family, that when we would go places, we'd actually pick up a little trash and leave it better than we found it. And so my staff actually kind of came up with this idea of the one bag challenge. So you're going to hear more about it. You're going to get a chance to get involved. And what we're hoping is it's not such a one and done kind of thing. You know, you join a group of people, clean up, and then you don't think about it again. No, it becomes something that you think about more often. And what a difference I think we could all make.
Yeah, it's one bag. It's not a burden. Come on,
just
folks, right? All right. For those of you who did grab a pencil or pen, why don't you tell our listeners where they can get more information on the coalition?
Absolutely. If you check out our website at trailsandopenspaces.org, if you have a question or a comment about trails, parks, and open spaces that you're seeing out there that you think need to be connected or improved, you know, we'd like to hear from you at info@trailsandopenspaces.org. We have a weekly newsletter that we call our Trail Talk that has a lot of information and will tell you what is going on, planning processes, trails that are closed, trails that are about to open, lots of great information. And it's free, and we'd love you to get on our mailing list so that you can be in touch with what's going on and be part of it.
Susan, thank you. Susan Davies, Executive Director of the Trails and Open Space Coalition. We have more of The Extra coming up. We're going to be talking to one of the coalition's partners, Palmer Land Conservancy. That's when The Extra continues. Welcome back to The Extra, and our guests today are talking about springing into nature, taking that deep dive that the wonderful outdoor experiences of the Pikes Peak region afford us. And joining us right now to talk more about that, Astrid Monar, Membership and Events Manager for Palmer Land Conservancy. Hello, Astrid. Welcome to the show.
Howdy, Shannon. How are you?
Just great. Just great. And I hope I pronounced your last name correctly. Yes?
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Yay. All right. So please share some information with our listeners about the Palmer Land Conservancy.
Well, thank you so much for letting me talk about Palmer. Palmer Land Conservancy is a statewide land and water conservation leader, and we exist to ensure that everything that you love, that we love about Colorado, its natural beauty, the locally grown food in this region, the outdoor recreation access, can be enjoyed by everyone now and for future generations. Palmer has been serving the community since 1977, so for 46 years we've been doing this work, and in that time we've protected 138,000 acres of land, which includes 20 of our favorite parks and open spaces. We've also helped protect many working farms and ranches and iconic viewscapes throughout the Pikes Peak region, and we ensure to make sure that they're here today and forever. We were actually formed out of the Colorado Springs Parks and Recreation Department. A group of very committed volunteers got together because they saw there was a need in the community to protect open spaces and trails and parks while there were still time. So that's how Palmer Land Conservancy came to be. And today we've significantly grown and we're still stewarding and protecting the places that we love. And as Colorado, and specifically the Pikes Peak region, grows in population and grows in popularity, the time for conservation has never been more important or more urgent. And it's people like me and you and our listeners this morning who are the people who make conservation happen. And we must protect the land while there's still time.
So can you name a few properties that Palmer Land Conservancy oversees, ensuring that they're conserved forever? I'm sure listeners aren't aware of just how great the reach is.
Absolutely, and they might be aware, they just might not know Palmer Land Conservancy is helping protect those areas. I know that you had Susan Davies on, and we just want to give a shout out to her and her work at TOS, because many of the properties that we help protect were bought with TOS dollars, so we appreciate her work. And Palmer Land Conservancy has protected, like I mentioned, 138,000 acres, including 20 of our favorite public parks and properties, which would include Red Rock Canyon Open Space, Stratton Open Space, the Ute Valley Open Space, the Paint Mines Interpretive Park, and so many others. We've also helped protect many view sheds that we're really familiar with here in the Pikes Peak region. If you look west towards Garden of the Gods, that backdrop is forever protected because of Palmer Land Conservancy, as we worked with those landowners to make sure that land will always stay the way it is now. And also, if you many of your listeners would be familiar, if you drive west on 24 near Divide, if you look towards the mountain, that beautiful landscape, that viewscape from the road to Pikes Peak is also protected. We call that the Pikes Peak Conservation Corridor.
Yeah, and those views are what makes living here so worthwhile. What's on the horizon for Palmer?
So lots of exciting things are on the horizon for Palmer. Over the next year, Palmer has some big, bold, and ambitious goals, which includes growing the number of acres that we have conserved by over 60% to over 200,000 acres. And Shannon, that's a lot of land. And to give you some perspective, that's over twice the size of Denver County. So we want to protect that much more land. And for you and me and our listeners, conserving that much more land means more land for hiking and biking and all types of outdoor activities. It means more fresh, healthy, local food available in our community, more room for wildlife to roam, and more scenic views to be enjoyed by car, bike, boat, by foot, and everything in between.
By horseback even, right?
Sure. We welcome that.
What spring happenings are on the horizon for Palmer as well?
At Palmer, we want to connect the land we help protect to people and with people to other land lovers. And because of that, we have a number of events coming up that people can join if they love the land and love the outdoors. On March 26th, Palmer is partnering with Colorado College to host a guest lecturer from Australia named Dr. Erin O'Donnell, who is internationally recognized for her research into the groundbreaking new field of legal rights for rivers, and that event will be hosted at Colorado College. And in April, we're getting out on the land to learn about water rights. Palmer is meeting at the Bluestem Open Space, which is a Palmer-protected property in southeastern Colorado Springs, and a property that's right beside Big Johnson Reservoir, which is used to hold irrigation and augmentation water. And Lee Durr, who's a local naturalist and a longtime friend of Palmer, will talk to us about water rights and help us understand why water in the West is so complex. And then on March 14th, Palmer is hosting our quarterly Women in Action Luncheon. The Women in Action Luncheon series is a platform that we have to connect women with other women to talk about topics and conservation in the community. We take time to share a meal together, we connect and we network, and we enjoy a presentation by a speaker. And each luncheon has a unique speaker who's either an artist, a chef, a historian, a land steward, or a scientist, or a water expert, or anything that relates to conservation. And we haven't announced our speaker yet, but we will in the coming week. So
okay.
I would love for people to join us on May 14th for that.
So that's May 14th, and I'm guessing that information about that speaker will be released on your website. So to the public listening right now, if you're interested, palmerland.org is their website. Astrid Monar, Membership and Events Manager, has been our guest in this segment. Astrid, thank you so much for sharing what Palmerland is all about.
Thank you, Shannon, for having us.
We'll have more of the extra just seconds away. Welcome back to the second half hour of The Extra. Our focus today is on the amazing open spaces that Southern Colorado is blessed with, whether it's vistas that open up and show off Pikes Peak or Garden of the Gods so dramatically, or the trails and open spaces that allow us to get out with our horses or dogs or kids or bikes and just enjoy being in the great outdoors and soaking up that mountain air. Whatever it is, it is something that being in Southern Colorado is a very unique opportunity for you if you want to take advantage. So we're joined right now by Ambrose Fees Armstrong, who is Community Education Manager at the group Food to Power. Ambrose, first of all, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning, Shannon.
Good morning. So I know a little bit about Food to Power, but I think our listeners may be somewhat unfamiliar. Why don't you explain what the group is and also your role as Community Education Manager?
Yeah, for sure. So Food to Power is an organism with a mission. We're a food systems nonprofit that addresses the food system in a holistic view. So we do everything from food access to production and decomposition through compost, all the way up to like advocacy and trying to create systematic change. We're located at the Hillside Hub at 1090 South Institute Street. And we just do a whole bunch of work that involves talking about food pretty much all day, every day. And if you're like me, that's pretty great. And what I do as the community education manager is a lot. I manage the volunteers in our organization, the adult interns. We coordinate group visits, arrange workshops, and then I also run a program called Community Corner bi-weekly on Saturdays.
So you mentioned you work with volunteers. I hear that and I think, a chance to maybe connect better with food. Sign me up. How do people go about volunteering?
Yeah. So we do onboardings in person, and hopefully here soon in the next couple of weeks, we'll have a digital onboarding on our website. Our next onboarding is going to be on April 6th at the Hillside Hub. And we just have so many volunteer opportunities. You can get involved with our food access department. They run year-round pretty much 7 days a week. The big highlight of that is probably our no-cost grocery program, because you get to work directly with ending the hunger that is current and also getting to meet so many of the wonderful community members. We also have opportunities to work with education, like with the Community Corner. I love it, and I think everybody should come and hang out with me. It's just a fun time. You make a little snack for the folks in the no-cost grocery program using the ingredients that you can pick up and take home, that like recipe, and recreate it from what you can get. And then we have our composting department. They're not going to be volunteering until about May, just because we are looking forward to warmer weather, which doesn't seem to be coming too soon.
You never know with Colorado, but we'll cross fingers. Yeah.
fingers crossed completely. But luckily, our farm is actually going to be opening up on April 1st for volunteer opportunities. And the biggest perk with both the compost department and the farm is that you learn all of these skills that you can then take back home and use on your own personal garden. And you also get to help feed the community at the exact same time.
Great. So what workshops and events are in the offing for the near future?
Yeah, so we just got done doing a seed swap. It's a fantastic event where you swap seeds and can pick some stuff up for your garden and meet other local growers and whatnot. We're done with ours for this year, but you can always swing by the hub and pick up seeds from our seed library. And just mark your calendars. Next year, sometime in March, we'll be doing it again. And then on the horizon, on the 21st, which is a Thursday, we'll be having a mushrooms and the Greek culture class at Food to Power. It's going to be a course taught by a mycologist who is on a Western tour. Her name's Olga. She's super cool and super in love with mushrooms and just spreading knowledge about them. And then she's also going to give us a peek into the culture of Greece and her heritage. It should just be a really lovely night of mushroom recipes and learning and a little bit of, you know, Greek knowledge in there. And then also on Saturday the 23rd, we'll be having a Black History teach-in by Candace McKnight, and we're going to be discussing local Black history of Colorado Springs, and there'll be food, and it'll just be a really great time.
Mm. Tell us about this teach-in, because Black history and food equality, food justice, I mean, sometimes they can seem at odds. Can you talk a little bit about how this ties into the work at Food to Power?
Yeah, so this teach-in is part of our upcoming research project in partnership with Colorado College. We just finished hiring community researchers to conduct interviews with Black elders who have lived in the Hillside neighborhood since around 1990s or before. We're interested in learning about like the Black food ways and sharing what we learn with the community. By foodways, we're talking about like what we're eating and what food people are buying and what we're growing and like family recipes, grocery stores, restaurants, gardens. The list really just keeps on going. And in a way, this teach-in is this project is looking to understand the gentrification that's happening in the Hillside neighborhood. But rather than focusing on the negative parts of gentrification, we are focusing on the like power and culture and legacy that's been preserved in Hillside by these elders. And it's going to be taught by Candace McKnight. She's a local expert in Black history. She's the CEO and president of the African American Historical and Genealogical Society. She's really, honestly, just a marvel. And if you haven't been to her museum, it's in OCC. It's pretty awesome to check out.
Well, great. We need to take a break here. Ambrose Feast Armstrong, Community Education Manager, Food to Power, has been talking to us. When we come back, we'll have more from Ambrose. Keep on listening to KRDO News Radio. We're back with our guests today, Ambrose Feast Armstrong, who's Community Education Manager for Food to Power. Also, our other guests, Susan Davies and Astrid Monar, earlier talking to us about just some of the opportunities for getting out in the outdoors, embracing the wealth of outdoor public spaces and agricultural opportunities that we have here in the Pikes Peak region. Ambrose is talking to us a little bit about Food to Power, a group that really is getting to the grassroots, literally, of food justice. So, Ambrose, what else can we look forward to from your group later in the year?
Oh, man. So we'll have so much going on. We do workshops pretty much every single month of all sorts of topics. I know we'll be doing compost here soon and hopefully something super delicious from an Owenockan teacher. You can catch us at Pikes Peak Pride. We love walking in that parade. And then the big one, of course, is our harvest celebration, which happens in late September. It is exactly what it sounds like. We celebrate the harvest for the year and just have a big party.
You mentioned the Harvest Festival. What happens at the event? You mentioned a big party.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge party. The Harvest Celebration is our annual fundraiser. We have a bunch of lovely local food vendors come out to provide like little bite-sized snacks so you can try all sorts of local food. We do a silent auction and a live auction. There's live music. There's always dancing. You can always catch me. If you come, you will catch me on the dance floor.
It's a guarantee.
Guaranteed.
Love it.
Guaranteed.
Love it.
And it's really just an opportunity for the community to come together. It'll be in late September, so keep your eyes out.
And of course, if you want to keep that on your calendar and you know, keep a feeler out for that, foodtopowerco.org is their website. And before we finish up here, I understand you also have opportunities for youth. Tell us about those, because especially as we're getting close to summer vacation, be good to have some very positive outlets for our kids.
Yeah, so we have opportunities. You can always come and bring your kids to volunteer with you if you want. But if you're looking for something a little bit more independent for your teens, we host a FLY internship. It's a food systems leadership for youth internship. It's paid for these children. It's an 8-week program. And they learn about all aspects of the food system and then the leadership skills to be able to like lead others in all of the knowledge that they've gained. They get to work with all of the departments. They seem to really have an affinity towards the farm and our food access departments, getting to connect with both the land and our community. This summer we'll have like 2 pretty lovely big projects that we're quite excited about that the youth will be leading. And yeah, the application for that internship should open in April this year.
And good information there. Where can people go again?
Yes, you can learn more information at foodtopowerco.org, or you can find us on Instagram or Facebook at foodtopower.
So in our final seconds here, we like to give our guests a chance to really give our listeners a takeaway from this hour of conversation. Astrid Monar with Palmer Land Conservancy, why don't you start for us and tell us what you want our listeners to take away from this hour of conversation.
Thanks so much for having us, Shannon. I would love people to take away their appreciation of the land, just to get outside and spend time in the outdoors and just don't take that land for granted.
Use it, because we could lose it if we don't definitely claim this ownership that is brought to us by entities such as yourselves, the Palmer Land Conservancy. Thank you, Astrid.
Thank you.
And we also have on the KRDO Newsline our guest from earlier, Susan Davies, Executive Director of Trails and Open Space Coalition. Susan, what would you like our listeners to take away from this hour of conversation?
Oh, just to get outdoors, you know, please, please use these beautiful resources. And after you use them and love them, then give back. You know, let those places contribute to your physical and mental health. But then if you can, come out for a volunteer day, come out and help us with our one bag challenge. Give back to this community and you'll feel great you did.
And finally, our guest that you've been listening to in this half hour, Ambrose Fies Armstrong, Community Education Manager for Food to Power. What would you like listeners to take away from this hour of conversation that has been focused so much on what spring will bring in terms of the landscape and the agriculture part of Southern Colorado?
Yeah, I really would just advocate for folks to get out there, to get your hands dirty, to try different things and just check out what's going on. There's a lot of great things happening just underneath your feet. And it's so good for you, both physically and mentally, to go touch some dirt and maybe come and compost with Food to Power.
All right. Ambrose Peace Armstrong, Community Education Manager for Food to Power. Thank you for joining us here on The Extra.
Thank you so much.
And to our listeners, thank you for taking part in this hour of conversation. We hope it's inspired you to maybe take a look at nature, embrace nature, expose yourself to nature, what have you. You've been listening to The Extra. I'm your host, Shannon Brinius. Have a great day, everyone.